44.
Yeah.
And I broke my contract from Buffalo.
I see. So you just reported to spring training?
Yeah.
Now, I know that the Tigers trained in Evansville, Indiana. Were they there in 45?
45.
Do you have any interesting stories about spring training up north?
Oh, we played a lot of games at the Army camp, naval places.
Do you remember any specific ones?
We played at Bainbridge. They had a pretty good team.
Yeah. I've interviewed a few fellows who were on that team.
Oh, yeah, a lot of ex-major league players and a lot of minor league players. Mm-hmm. And the Army teams that we played for, mostly all of the service teams had a lot of good ball players.
Mm-hmm. What was the weather like that spring of 45? Was it cold?
Let's see. Evansville was all right.
Mm-hmm. Did you live in a hotel or?
Yeah, we stayed
at a college.
At hotels.
Did you have a training table in the sense that you had to show up at a certain time for meals,
no,
or you went without?
No,
thank you.
No.
Did you practice on a regular ball field, or did you go elsewhere?
Regular ball field.
Because I know a few of the teams had to practice on golf courses.
Yeah. No, we had a regular ball field. Yeah, so.
Molly Moses told me that... with the White Sox and Cubs being in French Lick, with the three teams, the Tigers, White Sox, and Cubs, played a lot of games together during the spring. Now, as far as I can tell, you were the regular third baseman until Greenberg came back. Am I right? And then they put Jimmy Outlaw at third?
No, I was a regular third baseman until September.
Oh, until September.
And then we split the letters, and Jimmy played most of the time.
I see.
I would say middle of September.
Now, was it because that Greenberg had come back that you and he were platooning at third?
Yeah, it had a lot to do with it. Jimmy was playing the outfield until Greenberg came back.
Mm-hmm.
And then around the 1st of September, between there and the 15th,
mm-hmm.
he put Jimmy in. And when we played doubleheaders, we split the doubleheaders.
I see. Do you have any interesting stories about travel restrictions during the war, or food and gas rationing?
No, we always seemed to, on long trips, we always had compartments. We always had sleepers.
Mm-hmm.
The only time we didn't was when we traveled from Detroit to Chicago.
So you had no trouble getting Pullmans as late as 1945?
No. One time we rode the boat from Cleveland to Detroit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Across the lake?
Across the lake. All night ride.
Fine.
I don't think they'd ever do that now.
Probably not. Knowing them, they'd probably fly.
Yeah.
Did you live... let me ask you this. Were you married at the time?
No.
Okay. Did you live in an apartment near Brick Stadium? Or
in Detroit, Little.
Oh, I see.
Hotel.
I see. Now, how did you get to and from games? Is that close enough to Brick Stadium?
Yeah, to walk.
Okay, so there's no problem as
far as
carpools.
Majority of times we walked. Once in a while, we take a cab, but I would say 9 times out of 10, we walked up and walked back.
I see. Does anything interesting stand out in your mind about that 45 season? I'm sure it was a memorable one because you won the pennant.
That was a main thing.
But any unusual occurrences or personal achievements
that stand out
in your mind?
We had some long games with Athletics.
Uh-huh.
And we played 24 innings to a tie.
That's right. I remember.
And we played the game over, and we played, I think, 16 more innings on a game we played over.
Uh-huh. What do you remember about that day, the 24-inning game?
I was up 10 times.
Yeah, how'd you make out?
I think I got one or two hits.
Uh-huh.
10 times at bat. Nobody could seem to score.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the 16-inning game was a one-run affair, too. I forget who won it, though, but it was a 2-1 game, I think.
Was this with the A's also?
Yeah.
I see.
That was a makeup game.
Oh, it was.
It was a 24-inning game. We played about 4 innings for one victory. Oh, well, Newsom started a doubleheader against us.
Mm-hmm.
That year.
Oh, You mean both ends?
Yeah, he started both games.
No kidding. How'd he make out? Did he win either?
Not so good.
Not so well. Did he win either of them?
I don't think he did. I don't think he did.
Mm-hmm. Anything else that stands out in your mind about that year?
Well,
would you like to comment on any of your teammates? What kind of a guy was Steve O'Neill?
Very nice.
He's a good man to play for?
Very good man.
Was he a good psychologist? Did he treat everybody the same, or did he treat each man differently according to his temperament?
Well, because he had to treat everybody individually, mm-hmm. differently.
So basically, there was good morale on the club?
Oh, yeah, sure. Very good morale. When he was sick a couple of times, and Paul Richards took over.
I see.
He was bothered with the gout most of the time. And Paul Richards would take over.
What kind of a fellow was Richards in your
opinion? Very nice. I like him. Mm-hmm. In fact, I liked everybody.
Good, fine. What kind of a guy was Richards? Quiet or rah-rah type? Or?
No, he was quiet. Real. He wanted to win.
Mm-hmm.
He was out to win all the time, which he should be.
Right. Was he a good handler of the pitchers? Did the pitchers like him?
Yeah. Good catcher, too.
Who was with him that year? Was it Swift? What kind of a guy was Swift?
Swift. And we had a third catcher, Hack Miller.
Yeah.
He caught once in a while, too.
Mm-hmm. What kind of a guy was Newhouser? What was your opinions? What were your opinions of Hal?
Well, I'll tell you. They had a lot of stories about him. But the first day I walked into camp, you know the two guys that walked up to shake hands with me?
Who's that?
Newhouser and Trout.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So the two big shots on the club. That's very nice. Well, what kind of a guy was Newhouser? What type of temperament? I mean, high strung or?
He was moody, you know? Mm-hmm. If he was getting beat or something would happen that he would do that would cause a run or something or get somebody on base, it would bother him.
Mm-hmm.
But he would never get mad at anybody else if they booted a ball or something like that, only at himself.
I see. What kind of a guy was Trout?
Very nice. Very, very competitive guy.
Mm-hmm.
Real, real competitive.
I mean, he challenged hitters out there in the mound?
Yeah, he's in for pinch hitter.
Hmm.
Hit a few home runs.
Am I correct in thinking that Trout, as well as Newhouser, was mainly a fastball pitcher?
I would say Trout wasn't a fastball hitter. Mm-hmm. Not Newhouser. Newhouser had everything.
He could throw everything.
Fastball, curveball, and changeup. He had everything.
Uh-huh. Did either of them throw any trick pitches like screwballs, knuckleballs, pond balls?
We had a knuckleball pitcher, Jim Tobin.
Yeah. What do you remember about Tobin?
Well, we didn't get him until, if I'm correct, it was either the end of August or around the 1st of September. We didn't get Jim Tobin.
Was he picked up as pennant insurance? I mean,
yeah.
Here you are fighting with Washington.
Oh, you know, Al Benton broke his ankle.
Oh, did he? Excuse me.
Bob Stavella hit a line drive back at him.
No kidding.
Yeah, he pulled off. Hit him with the ankle.
So they got Tobin to compensate for Benton?
Well, not at the time, no. He got hurt, I would say, in June, late in June.
Mm-hmm.
About the middle of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And he came back. He came back before the season was over. Benton did.
What kind of a guy was Al Benton? I know he had been around for a long while.
He was a nice guy. He was shirt off his back.
Oh, really?
Same way with Rudy York.
No kidding.
Same way.
Thank you very much, Mr. Meyer.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask you about York.
A good guy. Do anything for you. And a lot of people took advantage of him.
No kidding.
Absolutely.
That wasn't
that's
so
a lot
much
of things,
a question.
That's some things that people don't know about Rudy York.
Mm-hmm.
He'd do anything for you. If it was humanly possible, he'd do it for you.
Mm-hmm. What about Eddie Mayo?
Eddie Mayo.
I think he was second baseman on the club.
Yeah.
Skeeter Webb?
Skeeter Webb.
I guess Joe Hoover was
the other shortstop. Mm-hmm. He has died, you know.
Yeah, I knew that.
Yeah. He had trouble then.
Did he really?
Yeah, he was sick off and on then. I thought it was his kidneys that was bothering him at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But he was sick every once in a while.
Let's run through the outfield quickly. How about Doc Kramer? What do you remember about him? He was finishing up. So he still had a good eye at that time. What kind of a fellow was he?
All right. In fact, all the fellows that I had, all the fellows on the team, we all got along pretty good. Mm-hmm. We all played cards together on the train, played cards in the hotels, and everybody got along. As far as I know, I never seen any animosity between anybody.
That's good. I'm not looking for stories of arguments. I just want to get your impressions on guys' personalities.
No, they all seemed to be pretty good.
Mm-hmm. How did the players that have been there since the beginning of the year take to Greenberg coming back? Was everyone happy?
Oh, they were glad he came back.
So there was no jealousy about, well, he's taking my job?
No.
Good.
They were glad because we were in a thick of the pennant fight. Mm-hmm. And we all know he was a good hitter. We were anxious for him to get in shape to play. Mm-hmm. He took me aside one day and sat down with me against the board there along the fence. He talked to me for about 15, 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of guy he was.
I see. Now, what happened after the... I'll get to the World Series in a moment, but I want to know what happened after the 45 season ended. Were you shipped out, or...?
No, I refused to sign the contract.
No kidding.
I went around and talked to different fellas that's been around on the club, that was on the club, that's been around for a few years, you know, like Al Benton and Hank Greenberg, a couple other
guys. Who would know what the salary structure was, depending on...
I asked them what you think I should ask for, mm-hmm. and they told me. So I did. And I think if Jack Zeller was... still general manager, the next year I think I would have went back.
Mm-hmm. Who was it?
Troutman. They got a new general manager. They took Jack Zeller's place.
Is that the same Troutman that later became head of the minors? George Troutman, I think.
Yeah, he sent me a contract for the same thing. In fact, it was less.
Do you mind if I ask what you were making in 45?
45.
Ooh, that's low, even for that period.
I was making that, and then I got a bonus at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. They thought enough of me, the way I played, to give me a bonus at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. And that was a $1,500 bonus. And the contract that they sent me the next year wasn't even that much, including the bonus. Mm-hmm. So I refused to sign.
So it was under $6,000.
Yeah. So I refused to sign.
And what happened?
I even come down some of my figures in that. So I held out. I didn't hear from them. And all of a sudden, I got a notice that they sent my contract to Buffalo. Mm-hmm. Then Harris come out with a statement in Sporting News about me. I don't know what.
Was this Bucky Harris?
Yeah. He was my manager at Buffalo.
Oh. Did he say nice things about you?
No, he said rotten things.
No kidding.
So, they sent my contract back to Buffalo, and Buffalo sent me a contract, and I refused to sign that. I asked for my release, and they gave
me. So you just got out of baseball then? No kidding. So 45 was your last year in organized ball.
Well, I had a pretty good job over here at Art Color, Burning. Plus, I got an offer from a semi-pro team. Mm-hmm. Between the two of them, I was making more money than what they offered me.
Yeah, I can believe it.
That's right. I was.
Good.
So
you've been a non-professional ball player since that time.
So I played for about 4 or 5 years semi-pro ball. Mm-hmm. So semi-pro ball disappeared from the map around here. That was about 51, I think.
I see. I would like to ask a few questions about your impressions of the 45 series. What was it like to be in the bench and play in the series?
Well, I never got to play. I only got up to pinch hit once. Mm-hmm. But it was a good experience. I enjoyed it.
A lot of people have said that I called it the world's worst series.
Oh, I disagree.
Warren Brown said he doubted if either team would win because of this.
I disagree.
You do?
Yes.
Why
hey,
specifically?
The Rangers scored. Well, there were some good players in that World Series. Mm-hmm. Some good pitchers.
I was looking over the box scores, and there weren't that many errors. There may have been errors of omission, but certainly not too many of commission.
Hey, well, you had Stan Hack playing. You had
Greenberg.
You had Rudy York. Roy Columbine.
Nicholson.
Baroy. Sure, they were all good established major leaguers.
So you felt that the quality of play then in that series wasn't that bad?
No, I don't think it was that bad. I really don't.
What do you remember about Charlie Hostetler tripping over third base? Cost the Tigers a victory. I think it was the sixth game. That was the one.
He stumbled over third base.
How do you feel about it afterwards? Did he give any explanation, or was it just one of those things that happened?
Those things that happened. That's all. Uh-huh. That happened to anybody. Not because he's not good enough to be playing then.
Right.
Right. It could happen to anybody. I've seen it happen to a lot of guys. And you're on TV in games played. Mm-hmm. Only they were fortunate a lot of times to get out because the play wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, it's happened plenty of times.
So what was the scene like in the clubhouse after the series was over?
Oh, geez.
All hell broke loose?
They had a special train.
No kidding.
Yeah, took a special train down and coming back.
Mm-hmm.
They had one car full of champagne. I never saw so much champagne in all my life.
Everybody just kind of...
My trainer got so bombed after we won the series that they laid him on one of these baggage carriers that they take to the station.
Yes.
They laid him right on there.
Okay.
Get on the train, they pushed him up on that to the train and carried him onto the train.
Oh, jeez.
He was